Soon after Superstorm Sandy left the New Jersey coastline in ruins 3 years ago, the conversation turned to recovery. But the other question many asked was how the state would prepare for the next Sandy. WHYY's Joe Hernandez recently visited the Jersey Shore and found that the debate over coastal protection is far from settled.
Sandy was one of those watershed moments for New Jersey. Residents and officials realized they had to come together and make it a priority to protect the coastline along the Atlantic Ocean from future storms, right?
Not as much as I would have liked.
Brad Smith is an environmental field specialist with Stockton University's Coastal Research Center, which partners with the state on projects to monitor the coastline.
I expected there to be a consensus out there that dunes and shore protection features are important and worth having in place.
But Smith was left disappointed. Coastal management became a contentious issue after Sandy, in part because the scientific community itself didn't always agree on the best methods. One strategy is to create what's called a living shoreline. That's using natural elements to strengthen the coast, such as pumping more sand onto the beach or building artificial sand dunes. Another is to build what are called hard structures, things like wooden or cement seawalls and rock jetties. Smith says there's no one-size-fits-all plan for every beach in New Jersey.
It's very area-specific. Some areas would say yes, maybe you need a hard structure, but generally, if you build a dune to the standards that, the core sets, that would be more than adequate. But, some places need that, some places don't. Some places are entirely unmanaged.
And that idea, that coastal management strategies can change depending where along the coast you're standing, can make it difficult for everybody involved to agree. After Sandy, the federal government spent hundreds of millions of dollars on beach protection projects in New Jersey. The state and the Army Corps of Engineers got right to work building dunes and seawalls from Cape May in the south to Union Beach up north. But some towns that were skeptical of whether these projects would actually benefit local residents started saying no.
I continue to be frustrated, and I speak only for myself, but I continue to be frustrated by the opposition of some folks in this state to us completing the dune system.
That was Governor Chris Christie speaking at a press conference this month on Hurricane Joaquin, which ended up turning out to sea and sparing New Jersey any serious damage. He says opponents of the dune project are only out to preserve their oceanfront views, and that refusing the dunes endangers their lives and the lives of people in nearby towns. One high-profile example of opposition to dunes has been the town of Margate, an affluent community of more than 6,000 people just south of Atlantic City.
And so I'll say again, quite candidly, to towns like Margate, you are amongst the most selfish people in the state of New Jersey. And if this hurricane had come to shore, the damage that would have been done to lives and property in Margate, I hope it's worth the vanity act that you're all engaging in.
But in Margate, the story is a little different. Dan Gottlieb is one of the residents behind the group Margate Citizens Questioning the Beach Project, which has been fighting the dune proposal for 3 years. He says one thing many people don't know about Margate is that it's had a seawall along its beach for decades, which Gottlieb says makes an additional sand dune unnecessary.
It appears to me that that's a more robust structure that stands 7 feet high and is made with big, thick pieces of wood that are anchored by pilings that go deep into the sand. It would be a lot more difficult to wash that away than it would be to wash a pile of sand away.
And a majority of the town agrees. Margate residents voted in two separate referendums to fight the state on its dune project there. Gottlieb readily admits he's no geologist, but says living in Margate his whole life has given him a perspective the state doesn't have. He says the state is focusing on the beach, where there's already protection, but ignoring the other side of the island along the bay, where homes quickly flooded during Sandy.
I wish they would sit down and come to some type of compromise, some type of negotiation, where the resources that are being thrown at trying to push the ocean back are thrown at maybe trying to keep the bay from coming up over the back bay seawalls.
So while there might not be consensus about how to manage the coastline, there seems to be agreement that something needs to be done to protect coastal towns. Since Sandy, state and federal agencies have spent $560 million on beach protection projects in New Jersey. That number is expected to jump to $1.3 billion total after additional projects get underway. But will dunes and seawalls and pump stations be enough? Princeton climate scientist Michael Oppenheimer is not convinced.
If the world keeps warming and sea level keeps rising, this is a fight that the ocean is going to win.
Oppenheimer says the first priority should really be reducing greenhouse gas emissions in an attempt to slow or stop sea level rise. But he says what's more practical is for New Jersey to think less about short-term fixes and more about the complex and costly projects that have been successful in protecting coastal towns. One example he cites is a series of huge dam-like surge barriers that the United Kingdom built on the River Thames, which cost billions of dollars and took decades to build. Oppenheimer says the United States just doesn't have the right mindset.
It's not clear that even those solutions, which are big and expensive but work to some extent, are feasible because we're sitting around just sort of daydreaming while the Earth is warming and the sea is rising.
And it may take another Superstorm Sandy to wake us up. From the New Jersey Desk, I'm Joe Hernandez, WHYY News.